CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. That's how we sound. All right, let's get into it. Let's see what you're up to this morning. You can get hold of us if you want to on WhatsApp line 071-783-6214. I've got the lovely Pumelele Mashiho here sitting opposite me, and she is ready to crack into Thursday and get us going. And we got lots to talk about today, so just get ready. It's all going to happen. Yeah, morning, Pums. How are you?
Good morning.
Are you full of the joy of life this morning, huh?
It is possibly,
joie de vivre.
It is possibly the coffee that you brought this morning. Thank you very much.
And a second. Are you far from your microphone?
I am not far from the microphone.
What are we doing here? Let me just get your levels up a little bit.
See, everything is messed up. You see what happens. We're all shocked to have you here.
I know. I'm back in the studio and I can't figure stuff out. Anyway, we're on and we're ready and we're hoping to keep you company, look after you today. Lots to talk about. We got the burning platform coming up a little bit later on. Guess what everyone is talking about? Load shedding. But we have to.
Yeah. I'm hoping today we're going to dispel some myths because
both of us
with all of the lies, all of the misinformation, all of the it's 8 minutes past six, so I can say
you can say whatever you like.
I've had it with the bullshit.
The bullshit.
Yeah.
No more bullshit.
We must play that.
No, we will.
Before the
burning I think platform. We will. I actually think we will play the no more bullshit. Yeah, good idea.
It's gonna be exciting.
So before we get into Eskom and, power and load shedding and whether or not we're supplying the other African countries and whether Guede's got a dirty, filthy
and
hand.
And that other tiger. You want to talk about this?
Well, that other tiger, the tiger shame. Yeah, everybody's talking about, I've got to bring this up because everybody's like, oh, they had to put down that tiger and it's also sad. Now, yes, it is sad. It's even sadder that there are grown adult humans who think it's okay to keep these things as pets.
So is he arrested?
I don't know.
I hope so. Because there's that
his name is Rassie Erasmus, but he's not the coach.
No, really?
Yeah. But he's not the coach of the Springboks. So before you start panicking, it's not that Rassie Erasmus.
Yeah, we can't afford Rassie to go to jail. No, there's a World Cup coming.
We were just starting to do well.
There's a World Cup coming, damn it.
Well.
That guy's name's Rassie.
Did
you see the video of him kind of attacking the journalists, not wanting to get his picture taken?
That game is up for you.
So what I couldn't understand is why they were all standing around and the police weren't like putting him in handcuffs.
Listen, if you're going to keep a dangerous wild animal as a pet and you think that that's okay, then when it goes horribly wrong,
I wonder how long he had
the tiger. You must take your medicine. When you buy an animal like that, when you think that it's okay to keep an animal like that, you need to have somewhere in your planning, you have to have the ability to understand that things could go horribly wrong and you will end up in chains. And you could end up with the life of a person on your hands. Now, there was that man at Mokwena who was attacked. Mm. Now, he's in hospital. He's not dead, but he could have been. There are two dogs and a pig that are dead.
Again, where was this pig? Like, there's so many
It's a largely agricultural area. It's large plots and farms. There's a big fruit farm where they found the tiger, as understand it. Yeah, so that's part of the story. But I mean, Walkerville's a pretty, you know the South.
Yes.
I mean, you're from Soweto.
That sounds very well.
The South is pretty. It's a scary place. There are parts of the South that are very. Let's just say it's like the Wild West, but it's the Wild South.
Buses are sending us a message that says the app is still playing music.
Oh, we fixed that now. But now you've got to fix this, Ryan. You see, I know how to do this. Just talk
among yourselves. How to fix this.
Just talk among yourselves while I fix this.
But I don't know. So the thing about the South, and I'm very glad that they found it, because when I read the thing that it's out in the South, I was quite worried, because that's very vast open areas. I'm desperate to see what it is that you guys are doing over there.
Quickly, no, don't worry. Just sorting this out.
Just sorting it out. But I was very, very worried because it's very vast and very open out there in the South. And I wasn't quite clear which part of the South. I thought it was like that R59 area. Mm-hmm. And that area looks like wildlands.
It is.
The tiger would be...
Of course it's wild.
Out.
It's the South.
Ready to get into.
But that's the whole thing, right? Is that the South of Johannesburg is a wild, dangerous place. That's what I was saying just now. So... The latest is that, you know, people are obviously worried about this tiger, but I think we should be worried about the people who could have been killed in this situation too. So if you're going to say, oh, well, it's horrible, poor tiger. Yes. But then you also need to be.
I do hope that the owner gets some kind of.
There needs to be punishment.
Serious punishment.
You know, this country, the one thing that we know for sure is the worse your behavior, the less likely you are to be punished.
Depending on who you are.
Well, the whole point, I think mostly the people who are doing the really terrible things are the most connected people, you know, gangsters and police chiefs and politicians and top business people.
Rassi didn't look very connected.
No, he didn't look very connected, but he's an idiot for keeping a tiger. So I hold no quarter for him. Anyway, the other big thing that's going on is that you came in this morning and you were like, have you seen this thing? And I'm like, well, what? Because there's so many headlines to choose from. But this is Usain Bolt. So apparently Usain Bolt has had like $12 million stolen out of his pension.
Usain Bolt has
just stolen. It was taken out.
So I saw this at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It's a developing story. And I was just like, what in the... And let's see what's out here.
All right. So tell me the story. I don't know anything about this. You were the first one. My breaking news this morning was brought to me by Usain Bolt.
So in the Guardian.
Yeah.
7 hours ago.
Right.
They've got a thing about Usain Bolt's 12.7 million missing from Olympic champions account. Jamaican authorities investigating after alarm was raised. The firm says several clients may be missing large sums. So it's a Jamaican firm that he obviously was helping out. Stocks mm-hmm. and Securities Limited, is the firm that, he's Usain Bolt. He could have kept his money in London.
Anywhere. Yeah.
He could have kept his money in New York.
And looking back, he probably should have. You know, we criticize people who make bad financial decisions and, you know, all those people who went down with, what was that bank in New York? Not JP Morgan or Chase Manhattan. The one that
Lehman
Brothers. We criticize people. We're like, ha, you idiots. How could you put your money with Lehman Brothers? But meanwhile, Lehman Brothers was a perfectly safe place to put your money before then.
But this includes the Jamaican Financial Services Commission. You know, ones who are, and I don't know, you know, when I read this in the middle of the night, I was a little bit like, ooh.
Not good.
And also just before I went to bed, I was watching a YouTube documentary about these like islands up there and selling passports, selling diplomatic passports.
Let me tell you something. You talk about the South of Joburg being a wild west. Like you can get a passport. Apparently.
Dominica.
Yeah. Places like the Grenadines. British Virgin Islands.
They're selling diplomatic passports.
Yeah.
To like
Curacao.
like wealthy, shady individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So because I was watching that and then I read this and then I was just like, oh God, these people.
So this poor guy, I mean, poor, you know, I'm sure.
Well, now he is.
I'm sure Usain Bolt's got more money stashed away in other places. I mean, he hasn't had a terrible career, but. Anyone who loses, I mean, imagine anybody.
Several clients okay, so of this company have lost millions.
What other people do we know about recently who've lost all of their pensions? And remember, you don't have to have millions in the bank to have it devastate you. You could be someone who's been saving.
Even if you had 50,000, it's still devastating.
Even if you had 5,000, let's say you were a domestic worker in South Africa, and you're putting away a couple of hundred rand every month, and you had maybe 10,000 by the end of 3 years of hard work, four, maybe 5 years of hard work. And you're thinking, well, that's my savings. Like the people at VBS, for example. Let's not forget. And while Floyd Shivambu and Julius Malema are still trotting themselves around as being respectable politicians with points of view. And, you know, we just represent our constituency.
Let me drink some coffee at this moment before I get too mad.
These sons of bitches, we actually know who they are. We know that they had a hand in this theft. And we know that the poor people who put their money into VBS are not going to get it back. Again, accountability, you know, whether it's keeping a tiger or whether it's stealing money out of VBS, accountability, please. Let's get into it.
Sure. Like, oof.
So, the other thing, why did my camera keep dying? This thing is so fucking irritating.
It might be.
No, it's fine.
Just going to sleep.
It's charging.
So now, of course, because of this thing, now we know that the finance minister of Jamaica is Nigel. What's his last name?
Who?
I'll tell you now. Nigel Clark.
Oh, right.
Now he's going to like go down in history as the finance minister under whose watch Usain Bolt lost, was defrauded of half his retirement savings.
Well.
Well, not half.
Yeah.
But 12 million US dollar. 12 million US dollar.
Well, you know.
Is there a lot of money?
No, I think Usain Bolt, obviously, there's a whole story there. But the other thing I want to talk about, because people are forced to do outrageously stupid things because the laws sometimes make them do outrageously stupid things. And to comply with the law becomes such an irritating, you know, gymnastic feat.
For those of us who want to comply.
Well, exactly. And even for those who in business are forced to comply. Yeah. And we were talking about this just yesterday with Lebang. We were talking about BEE, right? And about how triple BEE has benefited, 10 people in South Africa?
It's benefited people who probably don't belong in that BBEE. What is it?
BBEE. No, you can't plug that in there because then it switches off as well. No, thanks, Ryan. Ryan's trying to manage this camera situation for me by plugging it in somewhere else, but that's not going to work. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll sort this out. If it kills me, I'll figure it out. You know, I've become so used to doing the show from home that now the technical problems are here in the studio, not at home. Anyway, I mean, you know, bear with me. That's all I'm going to say. So let's just talk about this triple BEE. No, I'm good. I'm actually having a very good day. Listen. I've never had such a busy January in my life.
Nice.
Let's just start there. And good stuff, because like I said, I think on Monday, I love being busy. Being busy keeps my brain busy, and then I don't start thinking about me, which is where all things go wrong. Anyway, we're moving studios soon. We're moving offices soon. So I'm after the show this morning.
I am very excited about moving the studio.
You've seen the new place.
I am very excited. It's like in a secret garden, listeners. Right. It's like in a secret oasis. Garden.
It's amazing.
And it's closer to my house.
And it's unlike any other office I think you could say in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the most magnificent garden with pool and beautiful views all around.
And Lebang has promised me that we will have parties.
Oh, yeah, we will.
So I'm quite looking forward to it. And now that we're allowed to have parties with each other, I hope you guys come to the party.
No, we will. We'll be doing events there with our listeners. We'll be doing events there with our clients. We'll be doing lots of very, very cool stuff. So stick around for all of that. It's going to be amazing. But because I'm now the project manager for building this new studio, now suddenly I'm dealing with drywalling and soundproofing and air conditioning and God
but you
knows.
Love that stuff.
I do and I don't. I mean, I do love the construction part of it. I think that's lots of fun. And I'm enjoying having, you know, that role to play, which is very, very cool. But man, it's a nightmare. You're receiving quotes and every quote is more expensive than you thought it would be. And construction is always like a couple of days longer than they say.
So when we were building the house I live in, my house, the one thing I learned about construction is that it's a lot like dealing with taxi drivers.
Yes.
It's really the same experience. It was quite surreal, if anything. So I can imagine. And you've got a clock. Mostly when you're building your house, you've got a clock, but it's, you know, not that tight, but we've got a deadline. We have to be out of this studio.
Well, we have to be out of the studio because we start officially paying rent on that side on the 1st of Feb. But we also have an event we're doing for markets.com on Monday, the 30th. So before February's even kicked in. So it's a hard stop. You know, when people say like, this has to finish, I have another meeting after this. It's like that, but times 10. So that's why I'm a little bit busy this week.
Nice.
You know, literally after the show today, we're recording something. And then I've got to hop in the car and drive to the new site and watch what they're doing. So make sure they do it properly. Anyway.
Keeps you out of trouble. Keeps you out of trouble being busy.
And I need to be out of trouble. You know me. So, all right. So we were talking about this triple BEE thing. So the Spa CEO, you know, Spa, the chain of grocery stores, he has had to step down. I'll tell you the story quickly and you can piece together the bits that you don't get. But the retailer Spa CEO, Brett Botten, will step down at the end of January, while former board chair Graham O'Connor will be leaving in February. The leadership change comes after Spa was hit with a wave of negative publicity last year, including allegations that they'd manipulated the value of stores, reported fictitious loans, and discriminated against black franchises. The more than 10 retailers said that the group wanted to use their black economic empowerment loans to bail out white retailers and then dump them. See, when you create the opportunity for people to jig the system in any which way, when your motive isn't just pure profit, which it should be, you know, when people talk about stakeholders rather than shareholders, then you don't know what you're measuring anymore, because this one has a different opinion of what stakeholder is. That one has a different opinion. Suddenly it's about how it feels in your heart rather than what your bottom line is. And then you start discriminating.
So, you know, I've said on the show before that there is definitely something about us South Africans and our wanting to juke the system.
Definitely.
If given like half a chance. Sure. Took the system. And it's, you know, a friend of ours who's a former journalist, Ray Hartley, says this country was built on gold and diamonds. Like gold and diamonds.
Yeah.
We were always going to have it baked into our DNA.
Right.
That there's some kind of like somebody's juking a system somewhere. There's always a juking of the system. And it's sad, man. It's sad because the systems are supposed to give everybody a fair chance. They're supposed to allow an opening up of the economy and giving people. But somebody in the comments was talking about Marcus Uyster. I mean, look at how he took that system.
Well,
all the way from here right up to Germany, you know,
right.
Kept looking for ways of
and someone was asking
South Africans like juking systems.
And someone was asking in the comments, well, what about his pension? Because he hasn't had his pension taken away. And he stole everyone else's pension too.
He's had nothing taken away.
Yeah.
He's still living large.
Where is he? Is he in the country?
He is nobody's seen him, but he's where will he go? If Germany will hunt him down, because they're already having court cases. People are sitting in court for that Steinhoff.
Well, again, people's credenza. People's pensions were invested in Steinhoff. We were told that it's a great share. It's rising and rising and rising. It's good investments. It's solid. The balance sheet's great. Lies. All lies.
And lies.
That son of a bitch also. Accountability.
Yeah,
place,
and he's
know?
Sitting in his lovely big mansion out there in Stellies.
I think
he's in Stellenbosch.
The Spa thing, the report that they are putting together now confirmed widespread fronting and fraud in some franchises. The report also confirmed BEE loans were used to inflate profit at the retailer.
Wow.
Because you lie in the books, you say, oh, no,
fronting has two people, right?
Yeah.
Who are both
of course,
wrong. So it's got the person who allows to be the front, who allows themselves to be the front for whatever fee, and the person at the back who is, and this is also, you know, it's always, we love to talk about corruption and the corrupt, but very seldom do we talk about the corruptors.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think we need to hold these people responsible. So I'm glad he's resigned. I don't know what this means for Spa. As far as I'm concerned, as long as they keep making good rolls at the bakery near me, I'm happy.
Sile. That's all I have to say.
Oh, my God.
Sile.
All right. So those are some of the headlines. Let's get into some of these other ones. I like going through the news with Pumi. So. Always more interesting than doing it with anyone else. Right?
The news. Me.
Go on.
No, let's talk about the happiness index.
All right. This
let's
is a good one.
Let's talk about the happiness index.
Let's go.
Here's a nice thing to talk about.
So believe it or not, they publish a list of countries every year worldwide, and then they publish an African one where they look at the countries.
In the report, they like rate everybody they do. And I didn't know about this happiness index until I spoke with you guys about it last year. I was reading the book Chronicles from the Land of the Happiest People on Earth.
Right.
And I was like, the hell? And then that's where I read about the happiness index in that book, even though that book is fictional. And so the report, this is their like 10th anniversary that this report is out mm-hmm. now. And I was very intrigued. So they've got all of Finland, of course.
Right at the top. Sure.
People in Finland are very happy.
Are they though? Because apart from supposedly Santa Claus coming from there, you know, that's the fictitious byline they give us. But I mean, they had a good time with Nokia.
Yeah.
But that's not really at the top of the charts anymore. It's dark for a lot of the year because much of Finland is inside the Arctic Circle.
Maybe they're just happy to
Pums, you've
stay
got to move
home.
That mic a bit closer to you. People
maybe
are complaining.
Just
I've got you. I've got you at full
home.
Volume and I.
More.
No, there we go. That's better.
Maybe they're just happy to stay home. In their warm houses.
I don't know. I mean, Finland. Okay. So they say that one of the things that they look at here, they look at socioeconomic security.
Yeah.
They look at job opportunities. They look at welfare. They look at health. They look at education. They look at, nutrition, all of that stuff.
And life expectancy.
Right.
All of those things, all the things that just,
it's not just, you know, am I happy?
Am I happy?
Yeah, because
am I laughy? Am I fun?
Ava, that people in Burundi are maybe happier on a day-to-day basis because they probably have more joy, simple joys in their lives than the mentally ill people of Finland who don't have enough vitamin D. And no, because you hear about, I guarantee you there are more antidepressants
but
being
look,
sold
the
there.
Top three, right, is Finland, Denmark,
and
Iceland, and Switzerland.
Scandinavia and Switzerland.
There's something they're doing up there.
And they'll always have like New Zealand in there as well, top 10. Sometimes Canada's in there too. Look, these are countries where things work. So I understand that part of it. And that would make us happy. I mean, if electricity worked here, we'd be happier.
Yo.
Right?
Yo.
But by and large, when you say happy, I mean, you've got to look at all those factors we've just listed. Mm. But happiness, not in the sense of how excited are people to wake up every day. Because Africa will win.
No, no, no,
Africa
no.
will win every way.
Listen, we have the best climate. Driving here this morning, I was thinking about it, that I'd much rather be hot than cold.
Yes.
Because when Definitely. You're hot, you know, you can turn on the aircon, you can like
you
jump
take,
in a pool. You
take
can,
off all your clothes.
But when you're cold, even if you dress up, you're just miserable. Even if you're like wearing a down jacket, it's miserable when you're cold. But we have great weather. We have amazing people. South Africa's not even in the top 25 of the unhappy people.
Right.
In Africa.
Right.
We're not, we know how to find joy in life. We know how to find joy in the little things. Just, I'm always intrigued by when I see South African TikTok and how happy, like South African TikTok is the funniest place on earth.
It is.
People are,
even in the depths,
they genuinely know how to find fun in the despair.
In the depths of despair, we still find a reason to laugh. We joke about our stupid politicians. We joke about people in our country who keep tigers in the south of Joburg. We joke about floods and riots. We joke about everything, which most countries don't have a sense of humor about. So I think we've got to separate what happiness means to the average person, like me and you. When we think happiness, we're like, there's a happy person. You know, and I do believe like the average South African is probably quite happy because you walk around, you don't see people looking glum. Most of the time, you know, you meet people, they'll smile.
Even in like terrible places. And, you know, I travel around the country and I'm in places where you're kind of like, I don't know if you could like people live like this. People live here and still people know how to find the joy in life. And maybe the things that give us joy in life are more than just, you know, superficial things. And it's all sorts of things, right? Like, well, family and friends and, you know.
I'll tell you what, I mentioned New Zealand just now, and Seamus and Gary are telling me some really interesting news. Apparently Jacinda Ardern has resigned. So New Zealand is probably are the happiest people in the world this
they're
morning.
They're number 10.
Well, now they're number one because they got rid of that horrible horse face.
Really? How did we miss this?
I don't
Jacinda.
Know. Just look it up to make sure. I don't want to fact check you, Gary and Seamus, but we've got to fact check you, you know?
To resign before upcoming election.
Oh,
that's
good.
What CNN is.
Great. All right. Excellent. I mean, you know, here's a good point being made by Gray, who says, we joke about 33.3% to pass matric. Yeah, that's also hilarious, right? I mean, we look at Angie Mutsecha. I saw her on the news last night, just as a quick tangent. We'll come back to the happiness index in a second. I see Angie on TV, and I've told you I often feel sorry for her, which you've told me not to. But no. I do think that this is an old lady who's just in over her head.
So she must
leave.
Retire.
No. I'll hand over to someone who can do it.
Retire.
Anyway, she's on TV last night, and the guy from, I think it was SABC or Newsroom Africa, one of those, says to her, so Minister, why are the matric results coming out so late? So she says, well, you know, there's no rush really because these people are not going back to school. And if you failed, you can always just go back to school of your own accord later. She goes, but we didn't want to put ourselves under too much pressure. I mean, so you
see, they're not even trying anymore.
So here's the point. So the people who were able to deliver matric results before New Year, which was the way it always worked, right? Always worked like that. We used to
before
get our
Christmas.
We used to get our results before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Now it's January the 17th or whatever. This is pure
so now,
laziness.
I'm sorry if that was her answer.
They're not even trying.
They truly are not even trying anymore. They just are taking the piss. Imagine.
We weren't going to put ourselves under pressure. We didn't want to put ourselves under extra pressure. She says, you know, it's very hard for us.
Because no, this is not the future of all these millions of children that have written their matric.
No.
Right now, sitting there not knowing if are they going, or the parents, by the way, are they going to go to university or not? Do they have to find space to go back and write their matric?
As long as the teachers and the Department of Education and what do they call them? The certification people?
Oh, yeah. Matric.
What are they called?
Umalusi.
Umalusi. As long as they're not under pressure, then everything's fine.
Is
so. I mean, there she is.
Gotta
actually,
get rid of them, guys.
She's not hiding the ball. She's telling you straight up, guys, we're just lazy. We're incompetent. We just want to enjoy our holidays and puzza over the holidays. And
so if you
go
didn't
to the taverns,
have enough reasons.
The taverns where the matrix that we're getting pregnant, you know, come with and join us for drinks. That's where we'd like to be. We don't want to be marking.
If you did not have enough reasons, here's yet one more reason for you to be vigilant and angry and to – We are 15 months, maybe 18 months away from a very big decision, South Africa.
No, let's just schedule
it. Here's one more reason.
Ladies and gentlemen, put it in your diary. It's kind of important, and I'd like you to think a little bit about it before we get there. Just a little, you know? It's not one of those things where you just, those people are queuing. I think I'll go and join them for the election. No. You need to think about this and start making notes. So let's go back to the happiness index, because this is something we've got about knee deep into. Now the happiness index ranks all the countries in the world, but we're going to look specifically at Africa. And Pumi's got two screenshots here for us.
Yeah. So the top part and the bottom part of the top 25 in Africa.
Okay. But this is actually the bottom ones.
Yeah. These are the unhappy people.
Right. So let's look. Do you want to go straight to the bottom or do you want to go to the
top? Let's start with number one.
All right. So here it is. All the way at number 25, is that right?
Yeah.
34th globally is Mozambique. 4.79. Not too bad. Then there's Nigeria, Mali, Uganda, Liberia, Kenya, Tunisia, Namibia, 25th globally, which is not bad either.
And
Chad.
Like, you know, so here's the thing for me when I was looking at all of this is also just looking at the countries. So the countries and their GDP and how many people are there and kind of what kind of economies. Because the things that in my mind, when I think, what would make me happy, right?
You
also kind of think, oh, you know, bigger house, nice car.
Yeah.
These are countries that don't have.
There's none of that. It's like, this is basic, basic stuff.
Mm.
So let's just look at this list quickly.
So if you want to know, because Sanel is asking, if you want to know how the methodology and all of that, worldhappiness.report.
Right.
You can just go check it out, and then it'll show you all of the criteria, all of what they asked. And you can also look at past ones, you know, to see where people were.
To see if you've gone up or down.
And it's quite a, you know.
So PUMS.
This report is called Happiness, Benevolence and Trust During COVID-19 and Beyond.
So where is South Africa?
I actually went looking for South Africa to say, where are we then in all of this? I think we're kind of like in the middle, like around 30.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I think you see it also because of the fact that
everybody's there.
Yeah, but because this one was put together during COVID-19, there's even more complication here, because when it comes to trust, you know, the governments that misled their people, they should get extra punishment. I mean, like Sweden's the only one that got it right during COVID, so they should really be at the top. They should be ahead of Finland. They're at number 7. And I actually don't see South Africa in here. Maybe they just didn't have enough statistics to put us in the rankings, would be scary.
Here we are, 91.
Okay, I got you.
You have to click through.
Okay, South Africa's 91st. So from Finland, number 1, to the worst one, which we'll get to in a second, we are the 91st. And there are only 146. So we're in the bottom half.
Yeah, we're in the bottom. We're in the middle.
Bottom half.
Okay.
I mean, 146, 90s way over the middle. So let's just...
And they've been doing this for 10 years.
Right. Let's skip ahead. Here are the shittiest countries in terms of happiness. All right. So 01 in Africa is Zimbabwe. I'm gonna skip straight to that. Second globally. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's the second worst country to live in globally. Guess which one is worse? Afghanistan. Okay. Afghanistan, which is an active war zone where the only buildings are made of rubble and the really good buildings are fresher rubble than the old rubble. And people will eat a handful of rocks during lunch break at work when they're not being fired on with Kalashnikov rifles.
Did we see an article earlier this week about them having like beheadings?
They're going back to that, aren't
yeah
they?
Like
oh, so the Taliban nice, they're cutting off hands and
they're
heads.
Cutting off hands.
Taliban,
I think I saw an article like that earlier this week, and I actually had to look at it twice to think, because I was like, is this an old article resurfacing?
Joe Biden, I'm sure you said that the Taliban would be, you know, they'd be coming back, but they'd be a new Taliban, you know, when you unceremoniously pulled the entire U.S. force out of that place and left them with a whole bunch of heavy artillery planes, plenty of ammunition, guns. I was convinced that you had made an arrangement with them, and that was why you were pulling out of Afghanistan. But alas, they've gone back to their old ways. They're cutting off hands and heads, according to Pumi. And just the other day, they also announced that women are no longer going to school or to university. They've just decided that's not going to happen. So the feminists are rightly pissed off about this. They have decided, the Taliban in all of their wisdom, that women should go back into burqas and go home. No more school for the girls. So again, a great display of, what would we call it? Magnanimity by the people who told us that the Taliban were a new and revitalized Taliban who would come to their senses. No, they haven't. This is exactly the group of backward stone age morons who we ended up having to go to war with, I say we, the Western world, the civilized world, back in 2001, when they harbored the most dangerous terrorists in the world and had caves full of really, really backward, you know, thinking, if thinking at all is a word that they would use, religious nuts. So this is what we're dealing with. Anyway, so back to the happiness index. So Zimbabwe is the least happy country in the world after Afghanistan, which isn't really even a country. Next up, Rwanda, Botswana. Botswana is very low there, hey? So people are not happy in Botswana.
And there's not a lot of people in Botswana. But also what fascinated me is how close a lot of these countries are to us.
Right.
Which means makes sense we have so many people.
We might be making, but we might be making them unhappy.
We could be making
it could be our fault.
It's not our fault.
If you're in a group of people, And
everybody around you is unhappy.
And the people around you are unhappy. Guess what? It is your fault. right? I mean, isn't that a fair assumption?
I don't know if we're, right. I don't think we're making them unhappy, so, but my point is,
I mean,
Lesotho's in that line. Malawi is very close to us. Botswana is there. Zimbabwe is there.
Like, Zambia.
These people are very close to us.
Well, I mean, if you were hoping to wake up this morning and see a happiness index that you would be happy about, I'm afraid that's not going to help you either. So there we are. But interesting sort of ranking anyway. I'm just looking at the rest of the list.
So Stink Mina says, why is Rwanda unhappy? And says, I smell propaganda here. I think Stink Mina, you actually, the propaganda is working on you. Yeah. Because you think they shouldn't be unhappy. I think there's a very big propaganda machine happening in Rwanda. And it seems to be working if you're asking why they're unhappy. Why would they be happier than us?
Well, I think they're not happier than us.
No, they're not.
They've got active war zones on the Congo, which is on the eastern frontier, western frontier. They've got massive problems with their southern neighbor, Burundi. They've got a president who's a dictator. There's no freedom of speech.
You know, one of the things for me that when I think about Rwanda is, you know, how everybody goes, Rwanda is so clean.
Mm.
It's so clean everywhere. Yeah. And that's because like once a month they have this big, like, I don't know,
cleanup.
What do they call it? Muganda or something like that. This big cleanup. And every time I hear that, I ask myself, why are they doing that if it's so clean and nobody litters? Like, why would you need to have like this huge cleanup if nobody is littering? What are you cleaning up?
I would love us to just have one day where we could clean up our country. I mean,
I'd love that.
Wouldn't it be great? Because there isn't a highway or a road or a suburb or a township that you drive through where there isn't plastic and litter and paper and rubbish. And it's just outrageous, this country. We are a disgrace. And you can't talk about human dignity.
That's why we would need to have a cleanup, right? Because
yeah, we would.
We would need to have the cleanup because it's everywhere. Because the rubbish is not
don't
being
they
collected.
Punish, don't, da, da, da. Don't they really punish people quite severely?
So if people are being punished severely for littering and for dumping, why would they need to have? Because then people aren't doing it.
Yeah. By the way, someone just sent me a message here to say, this actually has nothing to do with happiness. It's more of a ranking according to like the WHO and the UN and the World Economic Forum's goals. So it's almost like a technocratic socialism score, which would explain why some of these countries rank low and others high, right? So the more you, no. I mean, it's a fair point.
I've been chucked out in my earphones over there. You just need to like chuck me in a little bit better.
Sorry, Pops, there we go. All right. Well, listen.
Tracy, you're right. We need a cleanup everywhere. Parliament, streets, beaches, everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize again for a few technical problems we're having this morning. I'm back in the studio with Pumi and we're just figuring out some stuff. Yeah, send your comments in. We are looking at them. When I'm in studio, I don't look at them as much, which I apologize for, but we are, you know, Ryan's busy running the comments and he's putting them up from time to time as well. So yes, I do agree. We need a cleanup, Tracy. And Durban CBD in Dogoza says is filthy. Yeah.
Baba.
Yes.
It's everywhere. Like people have just given up. People are just like,
when
yeah,
else did
whatever.
You take the Smith Street off ramp? Or what's the other one? Not Harrow, because that goes from the north.
Smith Street off ramp.
Or Fox. Those are
disgusting. I've just recently been to the plaza. So I did take that Smith Street off ramp. It's a little bit scary too.
Bad, hey?
So it's like the overgrowth there mm-hmm. and there's like homeless people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a little bit scary actually.
Yeah. I think that we've got to do a cleanup. Like that would be a good start. If the political party said we are for cleaning up the country. I wonder if they would get them a few more votes. I'd be a single issue voter on something like that. That and power. I've said it already. If you could supply electricity.
So here's the thing. Yeah. And I think all of these things really for me keep coming to the same thing is yes. It's actually, we're going to have to do stuff. We can no longer, as South Africans, we can no longer kind of think somebody is doing it.
Yeah.
Somebody is doing it. We are going to have to do stuff. We're going to have to be the people that like rally and organize and make it happen and get people together and, you know?
Well,
it's not going to be somebody else. If you're not in the mix,
don't talk about
then
it.
Then who's supposed to do it? If you're not part of the doing, who?
Dogoza says, maybe we should start chopping hands off for littering. The Taliban might be onto something here. Okay.
Somebody mentioned Zibi. We talk of, zap it in the Zibi. And because we're in comms and advertising and it's always been something that we worked on. I mean, we even used to have awards for PSAs in the fraternity, right? So when was the last time you saw a good public service announcement?
Doesn't happen.
They're just, because people need to be taught these kinds of things, right? It's also part of school, but you've got to remind people. You've got to keep all of these things top of mind.
And it's not the kids.
And that's why zap it in the Zibi.
It's not the kids who are the problem here. I think that the adults are the ones who are littering. You know, kids are not walking around and throwing shit on the ground. They might be, but it's mostly the adults that I see.
I was driving down William Nicol at that intersection with Santon Drive. Mm-hmm. And I saw a girl, a pretty girl in a crop top and like quite like funky person coming out of a taxi. And the first thing she did when she got out of the taxi is like throw. Like, I don't know if it was like two tissues or whatever, but it was two pieces of rubbish on the ground right next to a bin. I was just like, I actually wanted to like stop my car and I was just on the far lane, but I wanted to stop my car to say, hey, wena, because I think we should and we should shame people for doing those kinds of things.
Well, Jim says a country with 50% unemployment shouldn't be filthy.
I agree with you. You know, Jim,
again, I'd be willing to pay. There are two things I'd really be willing to pay more tax for. And I think we pay too much already. So for me to.
You would be willing to pay more tax.
Okay. Seriously.
For that.
I would pay an extra 3-5%. And that's a lot.
That high.
Right. Listen. Only two things. Number one, to build a prison for all the politicians that we need to send to prison. Okay? A special new prison with lots and lots and lots of jail cells. Okay. And shit food and all of that stuff. That's number one. And the other thing they can spend that 3-5% on, and I promise you I'll sign that check. And I think a lot of us will. The other one is to actually get this country cleaned up and to get things working again, like maintenance, go out, take, I don't know how many billions we've got in the fiscus, but if you took 2% of the money that we pull in from SARS every year and you gave that 2% to unemployed people who would go around and pick up litter. And I'm not talking about the guys who collect rubbish from the rubbish bins. I'm talking about the ones who would go in between on the roads, in the streets, over the kind of embankments and wherever people have made a mess and just clean that up. If we could pay, I don't know what 1-2% of the fiscus is to that. We could easily employ a couple of hundred thousand people even and give them a living wage just to tidy up. Wouldn't that make a difference?
I think that would definitely make a difference. And we could take, I mean, we have hordes and hordes of young people that are unemployed that need a reason to wake up and go somewhere and do something with their lives.
Imagine if you could pay people per the weight of the rubbish that they bring.
All rubbish.
Because
this is the one thing about all the guys that you see dragging all of those things around the world is they only take the plastics or they only take whatever. And then
I think we would have a lot more pride in ourselves. We would have a lot more confidence.
But you've got to sell the concept to people too, right? So this is why a good public service announcement is such, you know, we've spoken about dumb ways to die.
Yes.
Which is a public service announcement, right? And that's what a good public service announcement does, is it makes it all part of the lexicon of people, you know? So it's more than just saying, let's employ hordes of people to do this thing. It's also about saying, why it's important to
address
do
the
it,
cause.
Why we all have to, you know what I'm saying? Why we all have to, like, get behind this.
I think you're right, but let's get it from both angles.
We should resurrect Zibi.
Zibi. Remember there was this ostrich, right? Zap it in the ZB. I remember that from when I was a kid. I'll tell you what, I used to get smacks from my mother if I made a mess. If I left my clothes lying around my room, if I didn't tidy up, I've become a neat freak. I like being tidy. You know this about me. But I don't think it was because I was punished. It's because I really like being neat. But if I was dirty and messy, I got punished. We must punish people. I agree with someone who said here in the comments earlier, we need to have serious, if you're caught littering like that woman that you saw, this funky girl that you saw, there's got to be like a way that you can.
You know, also, for me, it really was a bit of a reckoning moment because I was so, I actually wanted to open the window and like shout her down. First of all, it made me feel a little bit like my mother who'd like stop on the side of the road and shout at kids. It's like, Am I this person now?
You turned into your mother.
Am I this old? That, you know, that you just want to like chastise people that are doing the wrong thing. But I did think about it as I was driving. I mean, I thought about it even as I had driven past her that, you know, like maybe we should, maybe more people should be shouting at people. Mm.
It should become embarrassing. It should become socially
public shaming, but yeah. You know, and I think like if there's a stigma to it, if there's a stigma attached to it, you know, but that's how you get most people behind is you. All right.
Here's a good question though. DK says, who do you put in charge of this idea and implementation without corruption creeping in? So who's accountable in South Africa that we know we can trust?
This is my point, right? It is everybody. Everybody is in charge.
Yes, but we need one person to run. Who do you think is the most trustworthy person?
This has got to work in concentric circles.
Separate question though. Who is the most trustworthy person to handle something in South Africa right now? There isn't one, right?
No, they haven't put their hand up yet.
That's the scary thing. Because until we solve that problem.
This is why good people should put their hands up. Good people should put their hands up.
Yeah.
You put the housewives in charge.
The housewives.
You put the Karens in charge.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we need to find.
You put the Karens in charge. Because they are the ones that will phone the city police when they see a truck dumping on the side of the road.
We know who these people are. The people who are standing up. They're the ones on those WhatsApp groups who.
Exactly.
Like tell everyone what to do.
We should
give them the power they crave, but give it to them over littering and let them be as draconian as they want.
All I'm saying is nobody has to give you the power. Just take it.
Hmm.
Just take the power. Like if 100 of us would just the people around us, then where you are, there's no litter. It's infectious.
I agree because people want to be in those areas. All right, let's.
Somebody says Rob Herzog. Can you imagine Rob Herzog looking after the rubbish?
Not really.
That's not glamorous enough.
Yeah, good point. Well put. So just quickly before we get to 7 o'clock and the burning
not
platform.
Not sexy enough.
I do want to go to a story that makes me happy this morning because I saw her at the airport when I got back from my trip to eThekwini. And that is Judith Sepuma. Lebo M and Judith Sepuma are going to share a stage with renowned composer Hans Zimmer.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And they're going to be putting together a live concert that takes place in Dubai on the 27th and 28th of January. And this is very exciting stuff because obviously we love Judith Sepuma. She's been, you know, part of this family for a little while as well. Zimmer is a film score and music producer. He's won 4 Grammy Awards and 2 Oscars. We might be talking to Judith Sepuma on the show not so far from now.
Amazing voice.
Get to see if we can talk to her. She's amazing. So, I mean, wouldn't it be great to have Hans Zimmer on as well? Lebo M, of course, well known for songwriting and vocal work in the soundtracks for The Lion King. And Zimmer has been named one of the top 100 living geniuses.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's very nice. So we'll see if we can get together with him. But isn't that nice? Something to be proud of.
That is a lovely story.
I think so too. Makes me very happy.
Are they doing it here or internationally?
No, it's in Dubai.
In Dubai, of course it is.
Of course, because they're only countries.
Another shady haven.
Of course, but there are only a few countries that are actually spending money at the moment and improving themselves. Others are all sliding backwards. And Dubai, for all their shadiness and the fact that they're harboring people like the Guptas, even though they're doing all of that, they're also doing a lot of good. And at least they're trying to keep the arts alive and bring things to Dubai.
Yo.
Okay, so here's a story that is not such good news, but maybe it is. I don't know. It depends on your point of view. Microsoft, in what is now an ongoing story in Silicon Valley and among all these tech businesses, they're all laying off workers. You know, Twitter laid off, I don't know.
Some few thousand.
And wasn't it just recently it was...
Everyone was...
Facebook.
Yeah, like, got rid Facebook, of- Facebook got rid of a whole lot of people. Twitter got rid of a whole lot of people, mm-hmm. and they're still in fights about what they should be paid in terms of severances.
Right.
And they were, of course, after the whole FTX and all its scandals, but a whole lot of this, and I listened to a podcast about technical developments in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. But I think in that week, there was something like, and I kept asking myself, what are these people doing at all these places? But almost 100,000 people across the board. So we don't have a whole lot of these tech companies. So like Shopify, we don't have Shopify here, right. But like Shopify had layoffs.
Amazon's fired people. Now Microsoft, 10,000 people in the latest round of staff redundancy.
10,000? What are 10,000 people
doing? Let me tell you
something.
If you can keep your core business going, after you fired 10,000 people, those 10,000 people weren't necessary in the first place.
I wonder what they do all day, every day. Exactly. 10,000 people.
By the way, these are the same businesses that used to tell us all how our offices should look. Remember? That it should be a playroom. There should be chill areas. There should be hammocks for people to sleep in. That there should be free coffee. That there should be canteens that make all kinds of, complicated and fancy food. These were the people who told us, oh, no, it's most important to keep your employees happy. Well, you know what a happy employee is? An employee who actually has a job to go to.
Who actually has a job.
Yeah.
So somebody, Stink Mina says AI is replacing anyone, everyone. No, Stink Mina, AI is not replaced. AI actually needs people. AI actually needs people.
Yeah.
Right. It needs people to learn from. It needs people to tell it what to do. It needs people.
George Meany says in the comments, our own George Meany from Auto Trader, that Microsoft has invested $500 million in ChatGPT, another Apple move. Remember when they invested in Apple when Jobs came back?
Yes.
That's right. Look, I think that this is probably a good cull. You know how you have to cull animals in a nature reserve when there are too many of them and they're destroying the environment and they're making it difficult for other species to thrive? Silicon Valley has dominated the conversation for far too long. They've been inflated. There's a bubble. It needs to burst.
And
there are a lot of people who
weren't
doing
anything. Maybe there were too many people who were just underemployed.
Right.
Maybe they weren't.
They didn't have enough to do.
Yeah. Because 10,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
And it's not like they're left with 3,000 people.
Let's say each of those people were earning, all right, so 10,000 people. Let's say each of them were earning, I don't know, let's go with a low number. Let's say they were earning $40,000 a year, which is a very low salary. Okay, let's do that. That's $400 million. That Microsoft has just saved itself. If you're taking a very low salary.
I have just Googled how many people does Microsoft employ.
How many?
Take a guess.
50,000.
221,000 full-time employees globally.
So this is 5%. Is that right?
This is according to the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission. Wow. SEC.
Wow.
122,000 of those staffers are based in the United States. Yay!
Matt says it's a COVID bloat. Too many tech companies hired people for nonsense jobs during COVID. George adds that Microsoft avoided public antitrust scrutiny by moving to being a business-to-business tech business. Very good point. Microsoft is, according to Sinonificent, Microsoft is just winning in the software and but hardware, apart from the Xbox, they tend to be lacking. Well,
I don't use Microsoft at all.
You don't?
I do not interact with Microsoft. Well, you know this. I work off an iPad.
Right.
And
you have an iPhone. So you have nothing to do with
I have not used, I've not used Excel or Word.
Right.
Or in in many, many years.
All right, here's that tiger meme from yesterday, and then we've got to get to the burning platform. There's a dog lying in front of one of those gates, and the shadows of the gate make it look like a tiger. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. So someone sent us that picture. Thank you very much. We will be back in just a moment or two with a burning platform. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
I'm also going to put on a little bit of like makeup here so that I'm not, my shadow is like, my forehead is not shining. Like, can you even see my
face? I don't know why your camera is so much less bright than mine. Because we're in the same lighting here. Pumi's literally sitting 2 meters from me. Not even, a meter and a half.
I had to get a ring light. Thank you, Ryan.
Right. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.